Okay, we're looking good back to Eric? Okay. So many times during a Holy Supper service, we discuss the physical sufferings of Jesus during the scourging and the crucifixion. This morning, I would like to concentrate on the reality that Jesus could have stopped all his suffering, taken out the nails, come down from the cross, and healed himself. He could have stopped all his suffering. He's God. Could have stopped all his suffering, but he didn't. Try to imagine experiencing a near-death beating, the excruciating, unimaginable pain of hanging 6 hours on the cross, knowing that you have the power to stop this most awful suffering at any moment and not using your power to stop it. I want to repeat that. I know you heard it, but it's crucial to the message and so important. Try to imagine experiencing a near-death beating, discouraging, the excruciating, unimaginable pain of hanging 6 hours on the cross, knowing that you have the power to stop this most awful suffering at any moment. He had 6 hours to change his mind and not using your power to stop it. Think of how quickly we run to the medicine cabinet for a toothache. Think of the pain and suffering that Jesus experienced having the power to stop it, but he wouldn't. Why? Us. That's why. Us. We are the reason why he would not use his power to stop his incredible pain and suffering. He could have called angels to destroy his enemies, but he wouldn't. I'm going to read to you Matthew chapter 26 and verses 51 to 53. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus reached and drew out his sword, this was Peter, and struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back into its place, for all those who take up the sword shall perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels?" He could have called angels to destroy his enemies, but he wouldn't. One angel would have been enough to destroy Jesus' enemies. One angel destroyed 185,000 men of the Assyrian army when they were about to invade Judah in the Old Testament. One angel destroyed an entire army of 185,000 men. But not even one angel was permitted to help Jesus. The angels watched the scenes of the scourging and crucifixion in horror, but were not permitted to help. In fiery, excruciating, unbelievable pain, Jesus would not let them help. This is why they couldn't do anything. Jesus, in that most awful, excruciating pain, wouldn't let them help him. Try to absorb this. Why wouldn't he let them help? Us. We are the reason why Jesus would not let the angels help. With all of his great heart, Jesus wanted to be the sacrifice for our salvation. I want to read something to you from a book called The Son of Man. I'm going to read two short paragraphs talking about what went on at the foot of the cross. Then began a scene before which the angels must have been horrified. They did spit in his face and buffeted him, and some smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, Prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee? In Mark we read, And some began to spit on him, prophesy, and servants did strike him with the palms of their hands. And in Luke, they blindfolded him, they struck him on the face, and asked him, saying, Prophesy, who was he that struck thee? You know why they covered his eyes, why they blindfolded him? Because they could not look into his innocent eyes. Spat upon first, then blindfolded, then struck, and among the blows the sneer, Christ, prophesy, he, with face covered by spittings, so deformed, apparently, so powerless. The key word over here is apparently. Apparently, so powerless. He wasn't powerless. Jesus chose not to use his power to destroy his enemies and heal himself because of some unimaginable infinite love for us. He could have stopped all his sufferings, but he didn't. It took more strength of character and determination for Jesus to restrain his power than the endurance and determination that it took for him to suffer as he did. It took more strength of character and determination for Jesus to restrain the power that he had than the endurance and determination that it took for him to suffer as he did. And he did it for us. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, Who for the joy set before him endured the cross. What joy? What joy is there in the intense suffering, pain, and agony of crucifixion? When he was on the cross, Jesus joyed in your salvation. Make it personal. When he was on the cross, Jesus joyed in your salvation, my salvation, in your salvation. So just a review of Jesus' sufferings. What about the scourging? When Jesus was scourged, he was stripped of his clothes and his hands were tied above his head to a post. Roman soldiers whipped Jesus with heavy leather straps that had pieces of lead and bone attached at the end. Leather straps were cut through the skin. As the whipping continued, the arteries and muscle tissue would break open and spurt blood. Pieces of lead and bone at the end of the whip caused deep bruises. Eventually, skin hung in long ribbons and the entire area became an unrecognizable mass of torn, bleeding tissue. When the prisoner was near death, that's when the beating stopped. That's how bad it was. Isaiah 50, verse 6, I'll read it to you. I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. Imagine pulling out of the beard, what that felt like, the most awful pain. Jesus could have stopped all this suffering and healed himself, but he didn't. A crown of thorns had very big, sharp, piercing thorns on it that dug into Jesus' head. It was placed on his head with force so that it was bleeding. They didn't see Miss America coronations and they put the crown on. They whacked it, they wailed it on his head hard to make sure his head would be bleeding. There was blood in his hair and running down his face. As we said, his beard was pulled out. Following this intense torture, the purple robe was ripped off of him. Now, you have to remember, Jesus was beaten brutally at this point, and they put this purple robe on him. So the robe stuck to all the coagulated blood, and they ripped it off him. It wasn't like you help someone take off their coat. They ripped it off him. You know what that felt like? Try to imagine ripping off many, many multiple Band-Aids off your body all at once. Now, we take off a Band-Aid very carefully, make sure the bruise doesn't reopen. They ripped it off. It was like Band-Aids all over his body, this purple robe that was stuck to his coagulated blood. They ripped it off all at once. Imagine what that felt like. He could have stopped all this pain and suffering, but he didn't. Isaiah 53, verse 5, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." What was the wounding and bruising of the crucifixion like? With the help of the Holy Spirit, I will try to describe it. Jesus was crucified with heavy, wrought iron, dirty nails. And then when he was crucified, they put the cross in a hole in the ground that they made. They did nothing gently. Here's Jesus crucified, hands and feet, and they wailed this thing into the ground. His whole body jolted. When he was nailed, his whole body jolted. Can't imagine the pain that he went through. Wasn't bad enough that he was crucified, hands and feet. Then they jolt that cross into the ground. The nails in his hands and feet sent excruciating, fiery pain from his fingers and toes up to his arms and legs and to his brain. The same hands that created were crucified. Jesus' arms were stretched out for 6 hours, causing great cramps. Now you try to imagine holding your arms out like this. And see how long you could last. I mean, not very long. You'll start feeling, you know, pressure and pulling down your arm. You're going to get cramped. 6 hours like this. 6 hours like this. When Jesus' arms were stretched out on the cross, he was saying, "I love you. I love you. I love you." When Jesus tried to push himself upward to relieve the stretching in his arms, he put more pressure on the nail in his feet, which caused fiery, excruciating pain. Every time Jesus tried to straighten out his body and to get air into his lungs, he was grinding his brutally beaten back from the scorcher, from the scourging. He was grinding his brutally torn back against the dirty bark of a tree. Consider the pain that caused. Jesus contorted in agony. And think, dirty nails went through his hands and feet. Now his back is torn open, rubbing against the dirty bark of a tree. You think he wasn't running high fevers at that point from infection? What Jesus suffered for us is beyond our imagination. Beyond our imagination. We owe him everything. He could have stopped all this pain and suffering, but he didn't. Why? He didn't stop all this pain and suffering because he had us in mind. Make it personal. We sang the song this morning. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. make it personal. I was on his mind. You were on his mind. He was certainly nauseous from the pain and suffering, but due to the position he was in, he could not vomit, which may have given him some relief from the nausea. Now, I was sick to my stomach, had a stomach virus last week after church. I did get some relief after vomiting. Here's Jesus hanging on the cross. You're hanging like this. How are you supposed to vomit hanging like that? So any nausea and extremely awful stomach ache, he couldn't do anything about it because he couldn't vomit. Because he was like this. You can't vomit like this. You're like hanging over some receptacle when you vomit. Jesus was like this. How could he vomit? How could he get rid of that most awful stomach ache and nausea? The sack around his heart was filled with fluid, causing a deep, crushing pain in his chest. Consider the words in Psalm 22, verse 14. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me, what Jesus suffered. Isaiah 52, verse 14 tells us that his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness. Jesus didn't even look human anymore when he was on the cross. He could have stopped all his pain and nausea and suffering, but he didn't. The second verse of the hymn, O Sacred Head, says, what thou, my Lord, hast suffered was all for sinner's gain. Mine was the transgression, but thine the deadly pain. Lo, here I fall, my Savior, 'tis I deserve thy place. We deserve the punishment for sin, but Jesus took it instead, even though he didn't have to. When Jesus was offered wine mixed with gall that was an anesthetic, he refused to drink it. With all the excruciating pain and suffering, he would not take anything to relieve the pain. Jesus could have caused the nails to come out of his body. He's God. He could have caused the nails to come out of his body. It wasn't nails that held Jesus to the cross. He could have come down from the cross and healed his wounds, but he didn't. He healed many people, but he would not heal himself. The chief priests and the elders told him to come down from the cross, and they would believe on him. Matthew 27, verse 41 and 42 state, likewise also the chief priests mocking him, with the scribes and elders said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. But he remained on the cross for us, for you. Try to imagine enduring the most awful pain when you don't have to. When you don't have to. The love of God was flowing at Calvary. And he was surrounded by angels waiting to help him, to free him from that agonizing pain and torture. But he would not let them help. Jesus stopped the angels from giving him relief. He could have come down from the cross, but he remained on the cross for us. It wasn't nails that held Jesus to the cross. It was the amazing pity and mind-boggling infinite love of the Redeemer, our Redeemer, that held him to the cross. His love for us cannot be measured. Jesus had the deadly pain, and we get heaven. Wow. Unknown, infinite, matchless, indescribable love of Jesus. The song, He Bought My Soul, states, there's a cross for everyone to bear, but there's a heaven for each soul to share. There's a place in heaven waiting me. I got it through his death at Calvary. Each drop of blood bought me a million years. A soul was bought each time he shed a tear. He loosed the chains that fettered you and me. He bought my soul through death at Calvary. The last line of the song says, I breathe his name each time I see a tree. On one he bought my soul at Calvary. Jesus paid for our salvation with excruciating, fiery, unknown pain and suffering and agony with his blood, with his life. Only Jesus made a way for us to escape the eternal flames and the torments in hell. We owe him everything, total commitment, total loyalty, total dedication. Only the great heart of Jesus would do this for us. That great heart that pumped his blood that saves our souls. Each drop of blood bought me a million years. How true the song that we sing, there is none like you. He could have stopped all the stress, the brutal fiery pain, nausea, suffering, intense agony. He contorted in agony. He could have stopped the torment, but he didn't. Why? Us, you, me. We are the reason why he didn't come down from the cross. It wasn't the nails. As the song states, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Make it personal this morning. It wasn't nails that held Jesus to the cross. It was an infinite, incomprehensible, beyond wildest imagination, indescribable, undefined love for you and me that held Jesus to the cross. An infinite, incomprehensible, beyond wildest imagination, indescribable, undefined love for you and me that held Jesus to the cross. We're going to begin this most solemn part of the service right now. When Jesus instituted the Holy Supper, he took bread.